Hello, and welcome to Pro Construction Guy's weekly series of ProCasts. This is episode number 27, How to Grow Your Business. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm David Doval. Thanks for joining us each week. Pro Construction Guide magazine brings you a new ProCast built exclusively for you, the professional contractor. You can listen to the ProCast at ProConstructionGuide.com or iTunes. Before we begin our conversation, we'd like to thank Trex for sponsoring this podcast.
So, lots of times we talk just a little bit at this point, kind of what David and I do, and we're sort of past that. We want you to check out AskJohnAndDave.com. And see what we do. We do a couple radio shows for our consumers, and we dedicate this time just to you, our pros. So if you want to see what's going on, you can check us out there. But before we get to the interview, we want to let you know about the Pro Construction Guide newsletter. It's free, and it's delivered to your email box automatically. The recent issue, by the way, is awesome. It contains an article about 13 fantastic tools selected by a contractor, and another one about how to stain concrete floors. In a way that's really popular with homeowners, and more. I can't get to it all. So if you don't get the newsletter now, you can sign up at the ProConstructionGuide.com website. So it's ProConstructionGuide.com. And as I said, it's free, and it's easy to subscribe. So that said, let's get on with the show. This week, we're talking about how to grow your business, and we're fortunate to have a guest whose many years of experience as a remodeler and business owner are going to help us out. He'll share with you some of his insights about how to generate more profits, how to create happier customers, and to do that by constantly training your employees and improving your systems. Our guest today is Ryan Parsons of the Brothers That Just Do Gutters. Welcome to the Pro Construction Guide ProCast. Ryan, give us the 30-second bio on Ryan.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. So my brother started the business in 1999, and he was an owner-installer. Started from scratch. And in 2002, I became involved and eventually became his partner and 50% owner. We changed the name of the Brothers That Just Do Gutters sometime around 2008 and have grown the business to a multi-state, multi-million dollar company since then.
Awesome.
How's that for brief?
That's good. That's good you made it. So everybody that's listening has done gutters, has somebody doing gutters. So what's so different about your gutter company from other competitors, Ryan?
Well, for one, I mean, we really just focus on the gutters. And we didn't have it easy getting into the business. And then with the construction decline, we actually started becoming a much bigger company, doing a lot more services than just gutters. And then once everything crashed, we decided, you know what, we're never doing that again. We're just going to do gutters. And so we just focus on gutters. And what we found is that we basically, to do a lot of gutter work, you have to have a lot of jobs. And we're not as fortunate as some remodelers and builders that you have to go find just a few jobs a year. We have to find like hundreds of jobs all the time. So what we found is we're actually more of a marketing company that happens to do gutters at this point. So what makes us different is we really just concentrate on that one niche, and people really love that. They love a company that they can trust that's going to be awesome at that thing they do rather than everything out there.
So you said something, and we've had other people do these ProCasts with us, Ryan, and we consistently hear a similar message. So we've got guys who are really good at their technical skills, but they're doing something in their business or about their business that is different or complementary to the actual technical skills they have. So tell us a couple other things. I mean, you said marketing. You're as much a marketing company as a gutter company. What else makes your company different?
Basically, what we're trying to do is there's a lot of guys that can hang a good gutter out there. And, you know, it's not that we can hang a better gutter, but one thing that we do differently than everybody else is we provide hands down the best experience possible that you can have while getting gutters. And that might sound a little bit strange, but what we found is that our competitors are largely owner-installer. And an owner-installer, they just don't have the time to answer every phone call, give it proper estimate, and a full detailed proposal and meet with every client. These are all things that contribute to the experience. And we go as far to have our installers call on the way to the job. I mean, on some levels, I mean, maybe we even overly communicate every little thing that's going to happen And it's such a contrary experience that they've had. Contractors overall basically kind of have a bad name when it comes to service. You know, you hear clients say, oh, yeah, that guy, well, he does great work, and he doesn't normally work Mondays because he gets too drunk on the weekend, but when he does it, it's awesome.
Once he's sober, boy, he's great.
Yeah, I mean, you really, you know, there's a lot of people that are good, but they can't provide that full experience. So clients have gotten used to dealing with a little bit of that, dealing with guys that show up the first day, then they don't show up for a few days, and then they don't have the right material, but they eventually get it done, and eventually the people might be happy, but the experience is painful. So we've, you know, basically what makes us different is we're really trying not to do that at all. We're trying to make it like, you know, a lot of our surveys we get back say, the only thing I wish is that you guys did more than just gutters, because they have such a great experience. They would love to hire us for everything in their house.
Yeah, but it sounds like you guys got dialed in and you want to stay that way, right? So probably makes
sense. We do. We realized early on that, you know, well, not early on. It took us probably 10 years to realize this, that it's not about price. It really isn't. We make it about price when we can't deliver service. So early in our business, we couldn't do all that stuff, or we didn't know enough to do it. And you go out to a job and you give them a price, and then they beat you up, and then you lower it and lower it until you finally got the job, and you realize you're kind of in business just to make money.
Yeah.
Or just to make payroll, I'm sorry. Just
and then the next
payroll.
Thing you know, you're drinking, and then you're drunk, and then it's Monday, you can't work. I can't believe I said that. So look, you just said something that'd be a great soundbite. Talking about marketing, you said we make it about price when we can't deliver service. Wow, you should write that one down. That's pretty good.
Maybe I will. And that's true. I mean, we've seen it happen over and over.
All right, so what, I mean, I know you've got... We say, I'm going to ask you, like, what are the secrets to your business? And then I'll probably bet you a nickel that when you say the secrets, it'll be like, well, I could have done that. So tell us, what do you think is the secret or the reasons behind your success, Ryan?
The reasons behind our success, I mean, I'd have to start out that we've made every mistake in the book. We've done the dumbest things you possibly can do in business, and we've done a few good things along the way. One of the secrets is you have to, I'd say the biggest thing, you know, and I know there's probably some of the things that might overlap during the podcast, is you have to invest in yourself. You know, most people just go out and they do their job, and, you know, and maybe they do a good job, maybe they don't. But what we did is we took time to read books. We took time to get better, look at our processes, look at our systems, listen to our clients. I mean, just surveying your clients is sobering. You know, you can think you're a really great company, but when you're getting surveys back that says, you know, your guys didn't clean up or the gutter is overflowing at the opposite end, I mean, it's pretty sobering to go, wow, we're not as good as we think. But you don't just say the customer's crazy. And a lot of us contractors be like, well, that guy, I knew from the time we went there he was going to be a pain.
Yeah.
And yes, once in a while that client is like that and there's nothing you can do. But what we decided to do is just listen. You know, when people continually said, you know, I didn't know you were coming, I wish you called. It's like, oh, so now our installers, they have to. It's part of the process. They call on the way to the job because it's not like we're going to the same client every day. We have one truck and have 3 to 5 clients on. So all different time frames, and we're in construction, so it's a time window. That little thing made all the difference for people. They love that. It costs nothing to do customer service half the time. It doesn't cost anything but a thought. And little stuff like that. So investing in yourself is definitely one of the secrets to our success.
Very good. This is good stuff. My wife teaches a lot of this stuff that you're talking about, and so I totally get it. I didn't ever want to listen to it, but I have to. And now I'm glad I'm listening to it, because it really works, doesn't it?
It really works. And the next step to that is investing in your team. So
right.
You invest in yourselves, and then that translates to your team. And I'll tell you, like, one thing my brother was great at when we literally should have shut down our business when building decline happened in like the 2008 era. I mean, if we knew anything about how to read our numbers, we probably would have went bankrupt, but we didn't, which was probably good at that point. We've since gotten better at that, and really good at that, I'll say. But at that point, we should have closed it. My brother he read a ton of books at that point, and then he tried to get me to, and finally I did. And I'll tell you, at this point in our business, all of our installers, they're required to read books and report on them. They do book reports. Our installers, construction guys, you know them, they come in and they do a book report in front of all their peers, and it has been one of the single most things that have changed our business and our culture. And what it took was our field supervisor, Job. He finally read a book that we've been trying to get him to read. Me and my brother read it, and he finally read a book called Raving Fans. And mm-hmm. he finishes the book, he walks into our office, he slams the book on the table, and he says, nobody can run a truck until they've read this book. And that's where the beginning of our learning organization started. He did it. And he was our field supervisor, so he had the respect of his crews. If he worked as an installer, then he became promoted to a field supervisor. As soon as he said it, then that's what it became. And our culture started to change from just doing our job to seeing what little extra could I do on this job? How can I make this person not just a satisfied client, but a raving fan? And since then, we've really implemented that into our culture, and guys have to read. I mean, we just had two book reports on Wednesday. A guy that's been with us for probably 8 months did a book report, and another guy that's been with us for probably 3 or 4 weeks. So it's continually happening. The guys enjoy it. They get personal growth out of it. And we enjoy it as business owners to see a guy stand up there and talk about a book like Attitude is Everything or Who Moved My Cheese. And they're talking about how it applies to work, but they're also talking about what difference it made in their personal life. Mm-hmm. And it's really awesome. We've taped a lot of these, and it's really cool to see the growth in people just doing that.
Awesome.
Good for you. That's good stuff. As we, John and I are both involved with NARI, but in the Charlotte chapter, we have a Level 5 leadership program, and that's what it's about, is a book. And we have a meeting every other month, and the assignment's to read a book, and then we talk about it. And you're right, man. It does make a huge difference. Good for you, and kudos for building that culture, because you're helping them in the job and outside the job, man. It makes a huge difference. So Ryan, what are some other things you guys do to motivate your employees?
Well, one of the biggest things that we did, and it's a scary one, and I'm sure anybody listening is going to say, yeah, right, I'll never do that, is we have an open book company where we share the numbers. They get to see the gross, the revenue, the net profit. They don't see the details. We basically take all that information and we make it into a very easily digestible, Excel spreadsheet, so they can see how much went to wages, how much went to, when they saw last year that $127,000 went towards vehicle expense, those numbers mean something to your installers. They mean something to your guys. That open book thing was awesome, because we're talking about a big money. And years ago, we used to have a really, I'd say, very bad culture of guys that they went out and they did a $2,000 job for the day, and they literally thought Ken and I were splitting $1,000 a piece, when they got back with the money. They had no idea, and they weren't happy about it. They made their wage, which was a good wage, but when they would start to add in their head, they think we're making millions of dollars a piece, and like on top of a money pit,
sure,
or a money pile. So this kind of demystified that, because the guys collect payments, they bring it back, they see what every job costs, and it was really awesome to share that with them and then go, wow, I had no idea. Yeah, you'd make that, but then you have to pay for this and then this and this, and that's all that's left at the end of the day. And yeah, they got it. And that was really cool. So we took that a step further, and now the guys know on a weekly, daily, monthly basis, they know exactly what they themselves, each truck and each installer knows what we're hoping that they can produce in order to keep this machine running the way we want it to. And that made all the difference of them not being resentful. A lot of contractors don't even let their guys collect the payment because they think, oh, I don't want them to know. It's like, know what? That you're not making nearly what they think you're making?
Yeah.
What goes in is what goes in. That is a great point. So when you share that information, now they've got access to key data about how the business is running. So how do you gauge whether the systems are working then?
Well, basically, a little bit more on that is I've seen the guys now took responsibility where I've heard their conversations going, oh, man, I feel bad because that job got suspended today, because we ran into whatever, rotted fascia or something, and I know we didn't hit our revenue number. And then they look ahead and they say, but tomorrow it's bigger than our revenue number, so I think by the end of the week we should be right on track. A key thing is they're kind of sharing the burden of that, where they used to just go to work and they're like, hey, I make this much per hour, whether I finish or not, who cares? That used to be the mentality. Now they're taking ownership. So to gauge how the system is working, well, one thing that recently happened, I don't know if the viewers don't know this, but we worked for probably 10 years to perfect our business model. We had a couple different reasons. We wanted to replace ourselves, Ken and I. You can't be in production if you want to grow your company. It's not that you can't make money. I'm not saying that. You can. There's plenty of different business models. You can go out and do the work. You can make a great living. But the downside of that is if you don't go to work that day, you don't make money. If you go on vacation, you don't. So getting out of production is a very huge thing. So my brother and I, we worked really hard to do that. And to do that, we utilized the E-Myth, that book, and we built systems. So then we built our company so that we could franchise this business model. And in 2014, we became a franchise. And one of our installers, Jimmy O'Lang, he wanted to be the first franchisee. He wanted to buy one. He was, getting close to, I'd say, 40 years old. And he just saw, how much longer can I work in the field? And he wanted to just go to that next level for him and his family. And he's our best guy. He actually worked in our company longer than I have. So he was one of my brother's first hires and has stayed the entire time. And so Jimmy, our number one guy, bought a franchise in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And to get to the question of how do I know it's working, because we're so invested in training all of our employees, Jimmy leaving did not hurt us at all production-wise. We miss him in the field, and he was a great asset to our team. But when he left, there was already guys trained in his skill set to take his place. So that was a huge area that we say, this is working. I remember years ago where you get that sinking feeling of, oh my gosh, if this guy quits, we're done. Me and Ken, we're back on a truck if this guy quits. Where your whole business is so dependent on one key person. Systems gets rid of that. When you develop a system and you train all your guys and you require all your guys to train the new guys, that's how we have it set up. Some guys can't get a raise unless they're helping train younger guys. And they get a raise based on them training. So we're trying to really make sure we have depth in our field so that if a guy does get another offer or he does move, we're not in that position, so you have to protect yourself there. So that was a big thing for Jimmy to be able to leave and us not feel that.
Very cool. Very cool. So look, before we continue this great conversation with Ryan Parsons, we want to get in a word from our sponsor. Trex is the world's number one decking brand, and it's available at the Home Depot. Trex has new technology that provides a 25-year fade and stain warranty for ultra-low maintenance. Visit the Home Depot Pro Desk for additional details about Trex decking and railing.
Good stuff there.
Hey,
Ryan, how did you and your brother learn to run your business so successfully?
I think we were a little stubborn, and I think we made enough mistakes that we just filled in the blanks of if we do the opposite, maybe that'll work. That's one of the ways, but
that's a way.
But really, we always had a crazy dream and a vision. Our vision was always big. My brother, he's kind of like, he has crazy ideas that are so big. He would talk back when we couldn't even make payroll. He would talk about how we're going to be a national gutter franchise someday, and I'm all for that. But I kind of start filling in the blanks with, well, to do that, we'd have to do these million things in between. So it started out with a dream or a vision, and we would talk about that stuff, but then we started to write it down. And writing it down, that's the difference between people that wish they could have or wanted to and the people that do it. So we started to write down our vision of what we wanted on a yearly basis. It was difficult to think about, you know, tomorrow, but we forced ourselves to just think about a year, and we would picture being at the end of the year and what that year was like. And that was really good. And another thing, we read a lot of books, like I said earlier, but I'll tell you the number one thing, I joked earlier about how if we knew our numbers, we would have closed. We still didn't know our numbers very well, and we hired a business coach, and we hired a company, Summit Services, out of Pennsylvania, and they completely helped us run our business based on numbers and not on emotion. We always ran our business based on feelings. I feel like we're not making enough money. I feel like this, you know, and the numbers really tell the story, and we invested, you know, a decent amount of money in hiring them, and we still hire them now, but it's the money that we pay for coaching doesn't even compare to what we've gained in our business. So that business coach really helped us run our business by the numbers. Now we know our numbers every day. We used to not even be able to look at a P&L and tell you what was going on. We'd have to ask our accountant, all right, so is that good or bad? I mean, that's how bad we were at the numbers. So that was gigantic for us. And just implementing and really, like, there's a, you know, a lot of people picture a business as like a pyramid. You got, you know, so me and my brother are on top, then some of our key managers are below us, and then, you know, whatever, sales and field supervisor, and then the team that does the work, and down to the apprentice. And they look at it like everyone is there for us. And what Ken and I realized pretty early on is if we can flip that upside down, and Ken and I are at the bottom, and our role is to serve our team, we will be hugely successful. And what that means is basically, what do you need? Can I give you more to learn? Where are you struggling? Can I help you? Oh, you need another computer? It's slow? No problem. Us serving from the bottom has been awesome, and it really takes all the weight off of it, and it really helps the culture. So I think there's certain things that we've realized along the way, and I've touched on a lot of those, but that's basically trial and error, writing down your goals, hiring a coach for where you're weak. You know, I'm lucky to have a partner, my brother, with you know, very different skill set. Mm-hmm. So he complements my skill set, and I complement his, so we're not both good at the same thing. And that was very helpful to have him and him to have me to grow this. But getting the help you need to get past those areas in your business.
I really like the part about the pyramid. That, and you guys flipped it around. I've heard that in similar before, and they just said it's no longer with the I'm at the top, I'm at the bottom, but it's a funnel, so it's still coming to me.
You are in my head today again, but that is exactly what I was thinking, because this is important for your small business and our pros listening. But I'll tell you, as a guy that works for an $80 billion company, and if you look at our stock price and you track it over the last 30 years, you'll see a dismal point in time. And there's a lot of different reasons that went into it. But when we began to tick back up was when our leader, Frank Blake, said, this business runs like an inverted pyramid. There's pictures on the wall in our corporate office. Everywhere you look, there's some reminder that it's an inverted pyramid. And that's how you go from $17 a share to $117 a share in an $80 billion company. You turn things upside down the right way. So, man, oh, man, Ryan. So two thumbs up. If you're listening to Ryan and you're like, well, I don't know if I should do that or not, I'm telling you, it works for Ryan. It works for the Home Depot. So sorry for the lecture.
No problem at all. And one of the things that there is a lot of sacrifice that went into getting where we are. And one of the biggest ones, and I see this with business owners, we get to, you know, benchmark with quite a lot of guys through the business coaching. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot of business owners take too much out of their company in their personal revenue, and they struggle in a lot of areas because they're taking too much at a time that they should be actually creating another position or investing in their employees. And one of the things that my brother and I did, I mean, we had a really crappy conversation, I don't know how many years ago, but it was basically like, Ken, how much do you need to live? Like, give me the bait. Like, what, how much money do you need? And I did the same, and it was relatively close. So we, that's how we did our salary for years. And, you know, and we just took the rest, and then we were able to then hire that field supervisor. We were able to hire a sales staff. And then eventually, and it wasn't overnight, it wasn't just like, all right, let's do this for like 6 months. I mean, it was a few years of us, you know, making our personal bills and growing a company and making way less than you would probably have thought from the outside looking in. But what was awesome is that foundation of people that we built, that enabled us that now there was profit, there was that net profit. Then we were able to do distributions as owners. And it wasn't taking from the company. We weren't taking money that the company needed. It was actually, you know, that extra that now we could increase our pay. So that's a lot. That's very hard for some business owners to adjust their personal lifestyle to get to that next level in business. And that's why I think a lot of guys stay stuck and never truly own their business. The business continues to own them, is because they're kind of, they're taking a little bit too much out of their business when it should just be staying there and making sure that foundation is built for growth.
Awesome. So look, you have, Ryan, you have given us tons of great information. And thinking in terms of our professional listeners today, I like to try to get us to the point where we can say, if there were three things that you could leave all of our listeners with today to help them with their business, how would you consolidate all this information we talked about into like three key points?
All right. That's a tough one, because I'm sure as soon as I say these three, I'll think of another three. But here it is. Invest in yourself. Invest in your team. And always try to become a little better.
That was good. That was very good. Yeah. Man, you got a sound bite and three good of it. So you didn't pay anything for this ProCast, and I think you just got some really great information. Ryan, this has been awesome. We genuinely appreciate your insights. You can tell talking to you that it's from the heart and from the gut, and that makes a difference. So if folks want to check out Ryan's company, you can go to brothersgutters.com. Did I say that right?
Brothersgutters.com.
Check it out. Ryan, we hope we can catch up with you again and get some more time. We sure appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it as well.
Awesome. So, David, it's time for the spare parts box, and you and I didn't talk about this beforehand, but so if you let me go, I want to get your opinion on something unfiltered, and it's the fine tool versus like the Multimax or something like that. I know probably not supposed to talk about brands. I think we all agree that that tool is powerful. If you had your choice in your business or telling guys to buy a tool, would you tell them fine, or would you tell them that Multimax is good enough for what you got to do?
Well, I think if everybody's using it, I don't know. I mean, that's really a good question, because I've bought the other brands. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy the fine. I've bought the other brands because a lot of times my thought process is that we can replace that tool, yep, multiple times over, you know, for the cost, yep, of what you paid for the other tool. And it's only because other people, if it was just mine and nobody else was going to use it, I would buy the best.
Mine is fine.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I stand with that. I you know, I'm going to buy something of decent quality. But I'm not going to probably go all the way on tools that they're handling every day just for that reason. I mean, we don't want them breaking down, don't get me wrong, but I think you stay in the middle of the road.
All right, so that's it. And I agree. And the advice we typically give both professionals and consumers is that's probably good advice, but there's one other thing that I just want to throw in there, because I did exactly what you did. Cause I do virtually all my own work. Wherever it's legal for me to do it, I try to do it, because I just love doing it. I'd rather do that than play a game of golf. So I typically purchase tools along that same mentality. And then I used my friend Ahmad's fine tool when we were doing my master bath. And I'm like, things are going faster, a little better, a little easier with this than the one that I've been using. So I'm not saying change your mind, change your opinion. Not that I could convince you to do that, but suddenly I'm like, okay, there's other things to consider on this deal. But like you, I don't have guys on my crew who are going to borrow my tool and do stuff, but I try to find that middle of the road. So that's our spare parts box for today, folks. We hope it's worthwhile for you. Now, If you don't have a way to get these podcasts delivered to you, or if you want to listen to them, you can just visit ProConstructionGuide.com, www.ProConstructionGuide.com. And if you haven't gotten your copy of Pro Construction Guide, then visit the Home Depot closest to you. They'll have copies right at the Pro Desk. David, you wanted to give us some stuff on feedback?
Yeah, hey, if you have any feedback, give us a call, 866-647-2346. Leave a message. We really do want to hear your thoughts. If you've got any ideas or anything you'd like to hear about or see, that's the number to do it at. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. And see you in the next episode of the Pro Construction Guide Magazine's ProCast podcast. We hope you'll make us a valuable tool in your toolbox.